Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And away we go! Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show is right here on ESPN Upstate. Rob and Diesel with you on a beautiful Upstate Monday afternoon. Blue skies without a cloud in a mid-50s. Starting to be flannel weather out there, y'all. Thanks for joining us. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us 71307. Specifically, if you want to make jokes about the way that I pronounce certain words. Apparently, that's what our text line is for. So, text us. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate. Facebook, it's at facebook.com/ESPN Upstate. You can leave your thoughts and comments and post on there. Email me, robbrown@ESPNupstate.com. All the different ways for you to get in touch with us. Glad to have you along for the ride. I have a complaint. Diesel, I need to speak to a manager. I have an issue. I need to talk to all the sports bars across these great United States of America. This weekend, I was out grabbing some buffalo wings and a couple of cold, icy, frosty brewskis and watching a couple of college football games. And around halftime of the night games, all of the sudden, the sound of the games that I've been watching goes off. I'm like, all right, maybe their sound system blew out. And then I hear the first handful of notes of Eric Clapton's Wonderful Tonight play. And I'm like, all right, this is an odd choice of song to interrupt a great college football game for. And then, Diesel, I was serenaded by the soothing sounds of a man in his late 70s who did not know the words, rhythm, tempo, or timing to an Eric Clapton song, karaoke-ing Eric Clapton instead of the college football game that I had been listening to just seconds before. Dear every bar in America, if there is a live sporting event on, please, for the sake and sanity of everyone, don't turn off the sound to a legitimate live sporting contest to make us listen to karaoke.
You were at an actual sports bar, though, right?
A sports bar, correct. I was having a conversation with somebody. I said, hey, man, you know, it's a bar. It's a bar. No. This is a
sports
bar, specifically a sports
I mean, I understand
bar.
That a lot of bars have karaoke night. You got trivia night, whatever it might
sure.
be. Why do you schedule that on a Saturday? Did multiple people get up and sing karaoke, or was it just this one guy?
Oh, no. It was like karaoke night.
Oh.
It was karaoke
yeah.
night.
That might be a bad choice, their sports bar, to have your karaoke night on a Saturday.
Yeah.
That's not smart. You do that like on a Wednesday,
or
a Tuesday, or something like that, when people are not coming in to watch sports.
Or, hear me out on this.
Just don't do it at all.
Just don't do it at all.
That's got to be one of the, that one. Tears in Heaven has got to be an awful, awful karaoke song. Creep from Radiohead is my
that is
nails down a chalkboard. I will tab out and go home if someone starts singing that song.
Here's the thing. I did. I went out to get wings and beer. And if you know me, if you've been, Diesel, you and I have been out to bars. I will throw down a $65, $75 bar tab on wings and beer if I'm going to stay and watch, you know, a game and a half for two games.
Nice to have money, isn't it?
It's rare, yes. I think I had one beer and one appetizer, and then it started, and I'm like, all right, I'm out. Take it to the house. I got three TVs at home. I'll just watch it at the house, man. That's
did
it.
Did you pull the Karen and ask to speak to the manager?
No.
You know, just say, hey, you know, I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed. and like, I was going to spend like $50 more, but I'm going home.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, I you know, and you and I were talking about this before the show. I am so non-confrontational, right? I'm a non-confrontational person. I don't like conflict. I talk my way out of it pretty much all the time. So I stand up and the waitress walks over and she's like, is everything okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to sit here for karaoke night. And she looks at me and she's like, I understand. She got it, right? It's so. But here's the thing. So I want to go one step further. First off, karaoke is terrible, all right?
Every time.
Yeah. There's never.
Every time.
There's never good karaoke. If I want to hear somebody sing, I'll go to a damn concert with a professional singer.
The only thing that's worse than the person who can't sing is the person who really thinks that they can, and they're up there trying to show off to the crowd, like, hey,
yep,
listen to me get like 80% of the tone, pitch, and everything of this Mariah Carey song right. Like, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear how good you are at singing a Pussycat Dolls song, okay? No one wants that. I don't care how good you think you are. You're not that good.
There are, like, tiers of karaoke singers, right? The only acceptable group are the people who can't sing, and they know it.
Yep.
And do you know what those people do at karaoke night, Diesel?
Drink.
Yes, they don't sing karaoke because they know that they're bad. Then there's tier number two. These are the people who can't sing, but they want to entertain you anyway. Some of my best friends are in this group. They know, like, they're okay, or even if they're just okay singers, but like, we're putting on a show. I'm here to dazzle you with my 50% capability of singing.
Superstar.
Those people are bad, slightly less bad than the next group. The next group is the people that can sing, but like, all they do is they get up there and then they just hold the microphone and they hold the mic stand and they just like, they stare creepily at the screen and they don't move their eyes away from it.
Yeah, those are the people who kind of know the song, but they don't know the song.
Yeah.
Like, if you can sing it without the lyrics in front of you, then you know the song and you're probably going to be a little bit better.
Yeah. And then there's the worst group, which is the people who can sing and they know it. And damn it, they are going to hold your attention for the next 3.5 minutes, whether you like it or not. And those people are the ones that are the worst.
And they always want to sing Carrie Underwood.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
Or Martina McBride or Reba's Fancy.
Yeah, we all understand that maybe he should think twice before he cheats. But I don't need you to sing that song to me while I'm trying to eat hot wings.
Yeah. Look, I think every town should have just one karaoke bar. You just get one for the whole town. If you want a karaoke, that's the only bar you go to. No other bar does karaoke. The worst part, and here's the part that I learned, and this is I used to be a bartender, and we did a karaoke night. And what is the worst is that top-tier group of people, Diesel, those people that come in just to sing and just to perform, right? Like, they're there because it's their own personal concert venue because they're not good enough to get booked to do an actual show.
Yeah, you're not going to go on American Idol.
Right. They're not good enough to go to any other bar and be like, let me sing for 4 hours and pay me money. They're not that good. So they're the rung below local dive bar singer, all right? The worst part about that part is since they are there to perform, they always want one of two things. Free drinks, or they, I'll just have a water. I'll just have a, can I have 50 lemons, 50 sugar packets in a water? Right?
It's I have to maintain my instrument.
Yes. It's always a, listen, I am begging you, every bar in America, everywhere, if there's a football game, and I'm talking, I don't care if it's a local broadcast of your two local Division 1A high schools with their, you know, seven players have to play on both sides of the ball because they don't have enough athletes to have a full starting defense and offense. All right? Even if that game is on TV, literally everyone who will spend money at your bar would rather listen to two middle schoolers play football than listen to bad karaoke. Help me help you, America. Karaoke is a terrible practice. It is a crime against humanity. It should have been outlawed by the Geneva Conventions. Nobody likes it except the people who do, and they're not coming out to spend money anyway. Karaoke is bad. Sports are good. Don't turn off sports to make me listen to the 77-year-old man who's, by the way, Diesel, drunk as hell at like 7:15 in the afternoon.
Are you going to call this bar out by name or no?
No, I'm not, because I like the bar a lot. I like the, there are about six bars across the upstate that
what does it rhyme
become
with?
My bars. I'm not telling you. I'm not giving any hints.
What side
away.
Of town is it on?
I'm not telling you anything about
Have
it.
Have we been there together?
I'm not telling you anything about it.
Come on, man.
I'm not.
I need details. Shame them. Publicly shame them.
I refuse to do so. I refuse to do so.
You're such a girl.
Because I like. No, I like them. I like their bar.
Apparently
a lot.
Not that much.
No, I just, I don't like karaoke at their bar. And trust me, I let them know that.
Are you going to tell me off the air?
No, because now I know you'll just say it when we come back on.
That's not true.
That is true.
That's not true. I have more discipline than that.
You would give hints to it. ESPN, the same guy that only shows up to sing karaoke is the guy who rolls up with a pool cue when you invite them out. True story. All right, listen. Here's the thing. If you are the type of dude that brings your own pool cue out to the bar, you are going to a bar that focuses on what? Pool. A bar that has pool tables that are designed for you to play pool. That's what those bars are there for. That's the point of them. No bar is the... If you are a karaoke bar and that is what you do, that's fine. But if you roll up to a sports bar, and that's the other thing. Even if that guy is playing pool, his playing pool doesn't impact me watching football. But when I hear guy get up there and go, it's late in the evening... Wondering clothes to wear. Like, dude, I can't listen to football so I can listen to you sing that poorly? Stop. Stop. ESPN Rob, here in the upstate, just wait until you get the Liquid Courage singers all named Bubba that try The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Terrible. Yeah, I had those guys back down on the panhandle too. I really did. You can't get rid of them. They're everywhere. And ESPN... I bet the bar is blank that Rob is talking about. I'm not going to tell you what bar it is, but I will tell you it is not that bar, Texter. It is not the bar that you suggested that it is. All right, when we come back, there is another college, another football program that I absolutely think is about to have a major impact on South Carolina's coaching search. Who is it and why? I'll tell you when we come back in just a minute. The Geneva Convention and karaoke are two things that succeed in producing poorly thought out attempts at stopping bombs over Baghdad. Hey! Back after this on the Rob Brown Show at ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Vanderbilt and Tennessee, a pair of teams that I told you last week I thought their potential coaching moves could end up spinning the coaching carousel in a way that has an impact on South Carolina looking for their new head guy. Is that possible? Yes. Vanderbilt has already made the decision to move on from Derek Mason. Smoke is coming up out of Knoxville that Jeremy Pruitt might be following him. I'm not buying into that quite yet. But now there is another name that I think might be on the unemployment line by the end of this football season. And if that turns out to be the case, it may have an even bigger impact on South Carolina. And that team is the Auburn Tigers. Auburn got rolled against Alabama this past weekend in the Iron Bowl, 42-13, and Nick Saban not on the sidelines in that one. Bo Nix, 23 of 38, 227 through the air, no touches, a pair of interceptions to go along with it. No rusher had more than 60 yards for Auburn. Anthony Schwartz did that. Nobody else had more than 38. Alabama, on the other hand, saw Mac Jones go 18 of 26 for 302 yards and five touchdowns. Najee Harris, 11 totes, 96 yards, 8.7 yards a carry, and a touch. Devontae Smith, 7 grabs, 171 yards receiving, and 2 touchdowns along with it. John Mechie, 6 grabs, 55 yards, a pair of touchdowns for him as well. Everything went bad for Auburn. But here's the thing that I saw in that game, all right? It is one thing to lose a football game. It happens. It is another thing to lose a football game when the other team is just flat out better than you are. It happens. But we were talking earlier about the requirement of having a good, solid, fundamental base under you, of your team buying in, operating as a team, acting as a team, communicating as a team, and they need to fight like a team as well. This Auburn team was the most lackadaisical, half-assed, not trying football team I have seen in a rivalry game of this caliber in a long time. This is supposed to be one of, if not the nastiest rivalries in college football. This is a rivalry that quite literally makes families not talk to each other in the great state of Alabama. This is the rivalry where cousins named Bear and Aubie, and I know that for a fact because I had a couple of friends down there who had a pair of cousins named Bear and Aubie, where Bear and Aubie, cousins, don't talk to each other, don't like each other because of the rivalry and where their namesakes came from. It's the biggest rivalry in the South is Auburn, Alabama. There's some good ones. There's a lot I respect. But the biggest rivalry in the South is Auburn, Alabama. And the thing is, even if the other team has you outgunned, outmatched, you go out there and you bust your ass to win that football game because you never know what's coming your way. Remember the kick six? Remember the kick six? That kick six only happened because Auburn, a team that was outgunned in that game, did not roll over. They fought and they fought and they fought and they fought and they put themselves in a position to win. And even though Alabama lined up for a game-winning kick, Auburn found a way to win that football game. This weekend, Auburn didn't fight at all. There was no fight to that team. There was no gut to that team. There was no intensity to that team. It was a rivalry game where one team rolled in there, did what the hell they wanted to do, rolled the crimson helmet to 50-yard line, and the other team just gave up, never even put up a fight. That is the reason that Auburn will be moving on from Gus Malzahn. It is one thing to look and go, you know what? Alabama is number one in the country. They are at the top of their game, and nobody's going to touch them. That's realistic. It is another thing to not even try. If you're an Auburn fan, you accept an L to Bama under Nick Saban right now. That guy has that program on a different level. You accept an L in that spot. What you don't accept is your team just rolling over. What you don't accept is your team just taking a knee and letting the other squad run up and down the field however the hell they want to. You don't accept that at all. Auburn got to make a change now. They have to make a change now. Now, how does that impact us here in the upstate? Because if Auburn comes open, while it is not as attractive as a job as it will be in 7 or 8 years when Nick Saban is no longer the coach at Alabama and Alabama comes back down from the stratosphere, back down to normal people territory, right? Unless I'm totally wrong and Dabo does end up at Alabama, but I would bet you a dollar to a donut that's not going to happen. When Nick Saban clears out of Alabama, Auburn becomes a very attractive job. And it might even still be attractive now because even though the recruiting is very difficult next to Alabama, next to LSU, next to Georgia, with those three teams being your three primary rivals that you have to play every year, while it looks tough, you got to wonder, can I ride that bad boy out until Saban leaves and then pick up some of the power vacuum? The answer is maybe. And there's going to be a couple of coaches out there that go, you know what, I'll take that risk. I will gamble that at some point in the next 5, 6, 7 years, Nick Saban is going to walk away from Alabama. He's going to call it a career. He's going to go retire with Miss Terry and bail out. And if he does that, then there's a power vacuum right in the middle of the state of Alabama. And even if Saban picks his own successor, there will be a chance for us to make some ground. I'll take the run. You got to wonder, does that have an impact on South Carolina? Are there any names out there that over the next 6 or 7 months that South Carolina could be making pushes for? Big names. The Urban Meyers of the world might look at Auburn and go, you know what? I want to go head-to-head to say it was Saban for a few years, but then I want to be there when that power vacuum opens up that he inevitably leaves when he takes off from that program. And the answer to me is a solid maybe. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307. Start your text with ESPN so it filters through to Diesel and I. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at ESPN Upstate, at Diesel on Radio. Let's take a break. When we come back in just a minute, the NFC South has gotten very interesting. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are falling off. The Atlanta Falcons are ramping up quick. The New Orleans Saints looked almost beatable for the first half of that game against the Denver Broncos yesterday. So where does that leave your Carolina Panthers after their weekend? That's coming up next on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
NFC South getting very interesting as we head towards the end of the regular season. Week 12 in the books now, and over in the National Football Conference in the NFC South right now, the New Orleans Saints are the overall NFC number one seed, now at 9-2 after beating a Denver Broncos team that was just frankly unfortunate and unmatched. Their entire quarterback roster was unavailable, so they had to bring in an unknown, untested guy who was in a sales job a couple of weeks ago. He had been an on-again, off-again practice squad wide receiver to play quarterback, and it didn't go well for the Broncos. The Saints basically handed a freebie win yesterday. Improved to 9-2. Tampa now at 7-5 after Tyreek Hill had like 200 yards in the first like quarter and a half of that game with Tom Brady yesterday. And there were some things that went right for the Bucs. Tom Brady kind of found some comfort on the deep ball again. I think he had four passes that were 30 yards or longer. He started to get comfortable again, but this is a 7-5 ball club. Remember at the beginning of the year, Vegas's over-under on this team was set at 10.5, and people were losing their minds over it. How can that team, with all that talent, especially at the wide receiver position, how can they only be a 10.5? Well, here we are. Here we are with four games left to go in the season for the Bucs. 10 games would be great. Now, they do have an easy back half of the schedule. The Falcons improved to 4-7 after knocking off the favored Raiders. The Falcons finally look like the team that I told you guys that they could be. I told you at the beginning of the year that I legitimately thought that the NFC South would have three teams fighting for the top in New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and Atlanta, and I thought that at the end of the year they'd all be within about a game of each other, maybe two games tops. Atlanta opened the year with a five-game losing streak, then got the win over the Vikings, turned around and lost on the last play of the game to the Lions. Beat the Panthers, beat the Broncos, got thumped by the Saints, but then they turn around and beat the Raiders. The progression of W's is starting to show up. In fact, I would argue that if we could lop the Seahawks L, the Cowboys L, the Bears L, the Panthers L, let's say we leave the Packers and the Seahawks here. So we take the Cowboys, Bears, and Panthers games, and we play those three games now. I bet the Falcons go at least 2-1 out of those games, and we're probably talking about a 6, maybe 7-win ball club in Atlanta right now. They have got left, coming up on Sunday, a game against the Saints at 1 o'clock. They've got a game against the Chargers on the road the week after that. The week after that, they're back home against the Buccaneers again, this Bucs team that looks very beatable. Then they're at the Chiefs, should be an L, and then at Tampa Bay to end the season on January 3rd. It's not exactly an easy schedule for the rest of the way, but there are more difficult paths that some other teams trying to make the playoffs have to walk than Atlanta, and that leaves, of course, your Carolina Panthers bringing up the rear at 4-8 as it stands right now. And that only comes by way of a Vikings last-second defeat of a Panthers team that 100% should not have lost that football game. All right? You shouldn't have lost that game to Minnesota. You had a two-touchdown win. Matt Rhule came out and said that he accepts blame for the fourth quarter calls in that game. It was just the pressure of the moment got away from Matt Rhule. And look, that's a young coach's lesson. That's a lesson a young coach has to leave. A first year guy has to find out what it's like to coach in those games. You'd rather get it out of the way now. You'd rather get it out of the way at this point in time than 2 or 3 years down the road when you find out that you're in a spot where you can be competitive. And I'm not a big fan of that. But I'd rather these types of lessons for Matt Rhule be learned now than down the road. Here's what it comes down to, all right? This is not the Panthers' year. This is not the year. It's just not. Let's be honest. Even if you make the playoffs, even if the expanded playoff, which I believe the decision to expand the playoffs gets made tomorrow, or at least the first time the decision gets made is tomorrow, even if they officially expand the playoffs and go all the way to a full 8 teams on both sides, which I don't know if that is going to be an option, a consideration or not, even if you make the playoffs, it's not the year for the Carolina Panthers, right? I know I keep harping on this. I know we keep hitting on this. But don't bring Run CMC back. He was missed this weekend. In fact, you probably win this game if he is back and available against Minnesota this weekend. You probably win that game even on the road if Run CMC is out there. But you are still, even if you win that game, you are 5-7. You are not in a spot where you're looking at a deep run to the playoffs or through the playoffs if you get there. Shut him down. See if Teddy B is the guy you want to commit to long term. I'll tell you the truth. I've mentioned to you guys, I love Teddy Bridgewater. I loved what he did in New Orleans as a person and a player. I love the guts he displays. I love the heart he has, and I love the football brain he has on him. I don't know if he's a franchise guy, all right? There have been some big moments for this Panthers team so far this year, and I don't think that he is a franchise guy. And if he is not a franchise guy, then you've got to learn that. Now you got to figure that out now. You got to put that in the back of your brain now. The Panthers are learning some very valuable lessons right now. They are learning what it's like to be in a shootout with a very good team like New Orleans, where they held 27-24. They are learning what it's like to be up against a team that has all the talent in the world, even if they don't put it together, in that 8-point loss to the Falcons a few weeks back. They have learned how to gut it out against the best of the best, like they did when they took the Chiefs to the wire a few weeks ago. They are learning what it's like to go up against a team that has a caliber quarterback like Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. These are great lessons for the Carolina Panthers to be learning right now. Is it Teddy B, H2O? Is it PJ Walker? Are either one of these the guys long term? I don't know. And to tell you the truth, I don't think so. I love Teddy Bridgewater. And this PJ Walker story has been phenomenal to follow. I don't think either of them is the future. I don't think either of them is the franchise QB. I think he's still out there for you right now, whether it's free agency or through the draft. I think your franchise guy's out there. But Matt Rhule is picking up a lot of good lessons right now. David Tepper picking up a lot of good lessons right now. Your offensive line picking up a lot of good lessons right now. Your defense, Jeremy Chinn, learning how to be a leader. You saw that out of him this weekend. There were spots where a few guys are missing tackle, and here comes Jeremy Chinn laying dudes out at the end of the play because he realized it was on him to make a play. Those lessons are being learned by the Panthers right now. And as we mentioned a few times, here is the good news for you. You look at the New Orleans Saints and what they are without Drew Brees, and I am day by day becoming more and more relatively sure that this is it for Drew Brees. I know he doesn't want to go out in a year where he's got to miss a handful of games because he's got 11 crack ribs. What the hell? I know that he doesn't want to go out that way, but the reality is it may not be up to him. Tom Brady. The decline of Tom Brady is evident. Not to say the dude's not a great quarterback. He still is. But the decline of Tom Brady is evident. You are seeing it. They saw it yesterday in some clutch spots where Brady just couldn't come up with the ball in the right place at the right time. The decline of Brady is evident. Those two teams. Oh, and you got Matt Ryan right there too. Who, hell, half the Falcons fans don't believe in Matt Ryan. But even if you do, the dude's in his, what, he's late 30s at this point, pushing on 40. It's not like he's going to be around much longer anyway. The good news for you is that the Falcons, the Bucks, the Saints, they are all hitting the peak of their evolution at the same time. They are all hitting the precipice of their franchise at the same time. You are not. You are at the base of yours. You are in the foothill of the mountain. Right? Which means that if Breeze and Brady both leave, as I suspect they will, if Matt Ryan, not Ryan, either gets ejected by the Falcons or just never gets what he needs as a coach around him to be at his best. And I've told you guys, I think there's a crop of quarterbacks that will go down as QBs who had their careers wasted. Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan amongst the top on that list for me. If they go away without letting Matt Ryan, not Ryan, realize the top of his potential, the good news for you is that the Panthers are primed in a position to jump onto that division starting next year. But you've got to go through this year and eat those L's like you did yesterday to learn those lessons. I'm talking about Rule. I'm talking about that offense, whether it's built around Teddy BH2O or not. I'm talking about Jeremy Chinn as a leader on the defense. These lessons being learned put you in a great spot because these other three teams in the South are at the top of their game right now. And in the NFL, you know, you don't stay on top of the mountain like you do in college football for 4, 5, 6, 7 years at a time. You stay on top of the mountain if you're a great team for 4 or 5, if you're just a really good team for 3 or 4 tops. These teams are at the end of their 3 or 4 year runs at the top. Carolina's just getting theirs going. The potential is there for this team to be the division moving forward, but you got to go through the pain of what you're going through right now. Don't quit on this team. Don't walk away from this team because they are pointed in a great direction. Quick break. We come back, wrap up hour two after this on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. Saturday night, we got to watch a pair of living legends slug it out. The greatest knockout artist of all time, Iron Mike Tyson, takes on the guy that I consider the greatest pound-for-pound boxer of all time, Captain Hook himself, Roy Jones Jr. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed it more than I thought that I would. I really did. Started that fight late Saturday night. First off, I gotta give some respect to my guy who went out there and got absolutely put to sleep. As Nate Washington, former NBA Slam Dunk Contest winner, went out there up against, and yes, this is a career field, YouTuber. Was it Jake Paul? Diesel, you're a YouTuber, right? You're up there with all those famous YouTube people. Do you guys have parties and stuff?
Yeah, I rub elbows with all of them. I'm in one of those creative mansions that they buy.
Gotcha. That's what I thought.
Did you know that's a thing? Like, YouTube knows who's making the most money and making the most views. So they, like, buy a house for all these famous, influential young YouTubers. And then they'll just, like, live in a house and shoot videos together.
Cool. Cool. So that's fun.
Yeah, it's an economy all of itself.
Cool. Anyway, that guy sucks, and he knocked out Nate Washington. First and foremost, the Nate Washington Challenge is taking place all over Twitter right now, which is, you remember planking? It's like that, except now you go act like you got knocked out by Jake Paul. But the fight we all tuned in to see, even if it's not the one that we walked away laughing the most about, was, of course, RJJ taking on Iron Mike Tyson. And look, watching that fight, the first round was clearly these two guys kind of figuring it out. But with about 25 seconds left to go in that first round, Mike Tyson, I think, decided actively that he wanted to murder Roy Jones Jr. in front of the nation. Like, I don't know what Roy did to Mike, you know? I thought this was just an exhibition, something for fun. Mike Tyson was trying to murder Roy Jones Jr. And what we learned very quickly was that even if it's not the power he had back in the day, Mike Tyson still has hurt you power, all right? Still has hurt you power. And you could tell because he was working the body of Roy Jones Jr. I mean, working the body of RJJ. And you could see even at the first intermission that Roy was just winded, man, was just hurting and winded. And it was kind of tough to get through, but he came back out round two and he made it all the way through round eight. And it was very impressive. Roy Jones Jr., greatest pound for pounder of all time. Mike Tyson, the greatest power artist of all time. And unfortunately for Roy Jones, power has more staying power through time than speed does, right? You can see that. And even there were spots in the fight where Roy was ducking and weaving and Mike couldn't hit him. I mean, there were spots where Roy was doing that patented kind of stick and move. Shh, shh. You hear Roy, shh. And then he'd move out of the way. And Mike could throw something, and Mike wouldn't connect. And Roy's already moved to another spot in the ring. It was great. I mean, for the point of this fight, which was nostalgia, we got the nostalgia of the power of Mike Tyson. We got the nostalgia of the speed of Roy Jones Jr. But Mike Tyson's time has been kinder to his power than RJJ's time has been to his speed. And you could see that. But what blew my mind about this fight, when it was all done, said, and over with, was, you know, they had judges, but this wasn't like a official fight, right? There was no rankings on the line here. This was just an exhibition fight to earn a little money and give us something to watch on a Saturday night. Well, there were a hilarious number of people who were infuriated that they declared this fight a draw, like it mattered. Diesel, I'm just going to go out there and say this. As somebody who tends to plunk a little coin down on the table for a football exhibition here and there, if you called up your bookie or went online to your gambling website of choice and you put down immense amounts of money on a fight between 54-year-old Mike Tyson and 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr., I feel like you need to seek professional help. I mean, that's like, why? Why is that the decision you made to gamble on? Two mid-50-year-old uncles at your backyard barbecue, as Snoop Dogg said. Look, it was an entertainment fight, all right? If you put money on this, you need to see somebody. However, can we just get Snoop Dogg on commentary for everything from now on? Nate Washington got knocked out and rocked and put to sleep by Jake Paul. Or Logan Paul, I don't know, whichever one of the Pauls he is, by that dude. And Snoop started singing gospel music on the color commentary while Nate was trying to wake up from his publicly televised nap. It was the funniest thing. I was playing it before the show started again because I could not stop laughing at it. It was incredible. It was incredible. It was amazing. And it was everything I wanted out of that fight. Look, it was fun. It was an exhibition. It was goofy. It was fun. It was just there to give us something to do and something to watch and something to laugh at. It was all we needed, and it was exactly what we got, all right? It just was what it was. It was entertaining. It was fun. It was goofy, and now it's over. If you want great boxing for the, oh, these guys are terrible. They're so old. Yeah, of course they are. If you want great boxing, email me. There's a lot of really good boxing going on out there right now. Don't wait for Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson to get on your screen. Support boxing because there's a lot of it out there right now. All right, that's it. I'm going to do the books. When we come back, our number three, we take a scan of the rest of the college and NFL weekend that was. We'll take you up to date on the results for all of that and plenty more. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us 71307. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with ESPN. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, at DSLM Radio, at ESPN Upstate. Got a bunch of texts. I'll read those for you when we come back in just a minute, including some props to the U.S. Women's National Team. Yeah, buddy, got that dub on Friday. Back after this on The Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.